This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you this same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, which is dedicated to teaching and sharing God's kingdom with you in a simple and understandable way. I'd like to have you get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil or pen and write down the passages we're going to work on and look at today. I want to have you start out with a passage that I referred to last week, and I may have given you the wrong passage. I want you to look at 1 Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy 2:5, as Paul exhorts his readers and his listeners to, and to Peter, to Timothy, who he's writing to pray for people. He wants them to understand in 1 Timothy 2:5 that Jesus Christ is God's mediator. He is the mediator between God and us. 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Jesus is a very unique and special individual. He is the Son of God. He was proclaimed as God's Son by Peter when he made his great confession recorded in Matthew chapter 16. And here we see that when you and I go to God in prayer, we can go to God through Jesus, who is our high priest. He is our mediator. And he is the one that intercedes on our behalf before God. If you know anything at all about labor and management and unions, I want you to understand that when there is a mediator that's going to mediate a dispute, either in a labor situation or a mediator in a court, a mediator is a third party who is unique and special. And that mediator is not one of the either two other sides. And you have in this passage, you have one God, and you have men, you and I, and you have Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, who is the mediator between God and us. That is one of his unique positions and jobs that Jesus carries out. I'd like to have you go to the book of Acts now in chapter 17. Jesus as the Messiah, which is Hebrew for God's anointed, is also called the Christ, which is Greek for God's anointed. Christ and Messiah are synonymous terms. And in this passage, the 17th chapter, we find some work that Jesus is doing. We find that in this particular passage, the 17th chapter of Acts, and starting with verse 30, at the times of this ignorance, which was the times in the Old Testament, God winked at, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. That's speaking of Jesus. There's only one person that God has raised back to life from the dead, to immortality, and that is Jesus. Now, this verse in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31 says that God is going to judge. But he's going to judge, and I want you to look carefully at verse 31. He has appointed a day, which would be future, in which he, and that's God, will judge the world in righteousness by that man that he has ordained. God is going to judge the world by a man that he has ordained. He has put somebody in charge of that work, the work of judgment. And the man is identified not by a name, but by what has happened to that man. That man has been raised from the dead, and there is only one that has come back to life, to immortality, and that is Jesus. God has appointed Jesus to be the judge of the world. Jesus will do this job on God's behalf. God is behind the scenes in all of creation. God is behind the scenes in all of life's goings on today. He is not just totally out of the picture. God is still in control. And he is mightier than the God of this world, Satan. And God is having everything orchestrated. It's going to come to a period of fruition when everything is ready for the coming of Jesus Christ to return. The kingdom of God that we talk about so often in Scripture is something that is future. And when the kingdom is established, God is going to judge through a man whom he has raised from the dead. This man is Jesus. Jesus is God's appointed representative. God has set Jesus in this position to do this job. Jesus is his representative, his agent. Now, I want to have you look for a moment over at the book of Exodus and take a moment and look at Exodus chapter 7. And in this passage, we have the story of Moses going before Pharaoh before he has led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And in chapter 7 of Exodus, in verse 1, the scripture says, "And the Lord said to Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron, thy brother, will be thy prophet." Moses was as God to Pharaoh. Now, Moses was not the creator of the universe. Moses was not God Almighty, but he was God's agent, God's representative to Pharaoh. And as Moses spoke, he was speaking for God and on behalf of God and as God before Pharaoh. This is very simple and very understandable in a Jewish concept, in a Jewish mindset. If you look at the Old Testament through Jewish eyes, as the Jews would have understood it, this is very common. It's called the principle or concept of agency, when someone goes and does a particular job on behalf of someone else. Moses went to Pharaoh on behalf of God, and he was God's representative, God's agent. And as he spoke, it was as if God himself was standing before Pharaoh. Moses was speaking, "Thus says the word of the Lord." In the New Testament, we see the principle of agency in action there also. Jesus is God's representative, God's agent, only he is a special individual because he's the Son of God. He is God's only begotten Son, who was born of a virgin, born of the Virgin Mary when the world was ready. Galatians 4 and verse 4 says that Jesus was born when the fullness of time was right, made of a woman, made under the law. Not 400 years too early, not 400 years too late. When the world was ready, when God saw the time was right, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. God's representative and God's agent. In the book of Hebrews, if you write this passage down, it's Hebrews, the first chapter. And we find that in the first chapter and verse 1, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in the past to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke through prophets, through the patriarchs, through kings, through judges, throughout the Old Testament. Verse 2 says, "He hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, Jesus Christ is God's representative today, God's agent. He is the Son of God, and God has appointed him as the one who will judge the world. Go back and re-examine Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. God is going to judge through a man who he has appointed, and that man is identified not by a name, but by what has happened to him. He has been raised from the dead. There's only one, and that's Jesus, God's agent, God's son, God's representative. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to be setting up a kingdom that will not be destroyed. This kingdom is one that God has desired to have for his creation. You are his creation. The plant life, the trees and the animals, they are his creation. But all the earth came under the curse and suffers and is groaning under the agony of the curse of sin because of Adam's decision in the Garden of Eden. Jesus, when he returns, he will set up a kingdom and begin to rule and reign. And we'll be talking more about that in the future. I want you to see that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Peter made that statement so clearly in Matthew chapter 16 that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is a very special individual. He is God's Son, and Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:5 and said that Jesus was the mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. That's who he is, and he's very important. He's the one through whom you can have life, and I hope that you will make a choice to accept him as your Lord, Savior, and Master. May God bless you as you continue to become a student of his word.